The Nine News podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman. And welcome to episode 310 of the 9 Years podcast. What a song to start off with this week. Stoke City, all eyes on you this weekend, and that's all I'm going to add. I'm Nick Draper. I'm joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. A win over Stockport, a tough away game to Leyton Orient to look ahead to, and lots of transfers to speak about this week alongside Jackson 5 and on that side of it. Stu, I'm going to suggest we start with transfer deadline day. And as I made note of on Twitter, at 9YRS Podcast, if you don't already follow us, why do we not bring this deadline forward? Because honestly, whoever's involved in transfers does not want to be working at midnight, whether it be chairman, managing directors, CEOs, CFOs, COOs, managers, assistant managers, media teams. Doesn't really benefit anyone. So why not just make it 5 o'clock?
I know, it just seems crazy, doesn't it? But it's always the same. It's always the same, isn't it? There's always deals. I think that whatever deadline you have, they're always going to stay close to that deadline. It could be like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You're still going to have that, but you're right. Why does it have to be midnight? Well, actually, it wasn't. Was it? It was 11 o'clock. Although you could, there was a thing where you could put an, you could sign a form or say to like a intent to buy or something, and then you could continue the talks past midnight, etc. But yeah, do you know what was interesting? I was at a youth game on Wednesday evening. I was chatting to Robbo, who was there. Hopefully not looking at any of our players, but he still comes down and has a look. And we were chatting about the transfer window because, of course, he's at Chelsea, isn't he? And I was like, well, the riches, that's how the other half live, isn't it? And he said exactly the same thing. He was like, the transfer window is sort of consisting to 2 days, he was saying. And it's open for a month.
Yeah.
But he was just saying, it's madness. But it's the transfer window, isn't it? Lots of money spent in the Premier League and lots of movement, lots of loans, etc. from clubs in our league. I'm going to have to do some more research, Nick, because I think a lot of teams have changed. Not completely, of course, do you know what I mean? But they've added. Forest Green Rovers are still short on energy, as you know.
Like Walsall haven't transformed into Plymouth, but we might discuss Walsall, actually, as a place to start. I mean, Robert says there is absolutely correct. What I will say is there are some teams that obviously knew exactly what they wanted to do as soon as they hit January and got business done very early, and Gillingham perhaps will be one of those. But then the benefit of having money to spend, I suppose. But for us, it seemed to be, tell me if you think I'm being harsh, Jude. It seemed to be we started collecting players in reaction to either players that had left that we hadn't wanted to leave, or players we thought were going to leave that didn't, or targets we thought we were going to sign, but they ended up going elsewhere.
Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it? I think we can put a list together. Well, you and I could put a list together, but Messi and Ronaldo probably won't come to us.
I wouldn't want either of them, to be fair. Like, Messi's too small and Ronaldo is
too old. And he's not good for PR. Let's be fair. No. But yeah, I think realistically, we're always going to have a list that we are going to have our top targets, and we're probably going to miss out on our top targets. And I know people say, well, let's put a realistic list together. But ultimately, you know, if there's certain players around that you want, then put them on there. But some deals are on the back of other teams getting their business done. So it can sometimes like buying a house. No, not talk about Barrack and Fenway, but it can be sometimes like buying a house in terms of there's a chain of events that needs to happen. So we never know if we put some desperate loans close to 11 o'clock. Of course, you can always be a cynic and say that because our deals were done so late. But it could just be in case of world of paperwork, etc. Just tied up. And I don't know about you, but I went to bed at 11 because I was tired. And then I woke up at 1 o'clock full of beans. And we had just finished, I think we had just uploaded the Johnny Jackson interview. And I was like, wow, 1 o'clock in the morning, they're not going to need a sleep.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just seems ridiculously unnecessary for everyone to be up at that hour for these transfers. But nonetheless, I was the same as you. I went to bed, I think, before you, to be honest with you. I slept through. When I woke up in the morning, I saw that we had signed McAteer from Leicester City on loan. Kind of already knew that was going to happen. The one that was the slight surprise, I suppose, was Jaisimi from Charlton. Attacking midfielder, winger, on permanent loan to the end of the season. Is that right?
A permanent loan?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where we stand with that.
Well,
but yeah.
Well, in the second half of the winter. So if you get a loan at the beginning of the season, there's always a recall option in the January window. I don't believe, unless someone's going to correct me, that there's a recall in a January loan to the end of the season. I think you're quite safe. We're not going to lose them until the end of the season. Yeah, it was a bit of a curveball. There's some rumours going around, as transfer deadline day always is. The South London Press had a live update feed, which was great to look at, because most of that was Bristol City had been turned down, which is quite nice.
Jack Curry, of course,
Jack Curry was the attention of Bristol City on the transfer deadline day. But yeah, I think the only one, and like I say, there have been rumours of a Leicester lad, Aaron Pierre, there have been rumours. And then, of course, the Charlton lad was a total curveball. Of course, we should expect someone from Charlton because that's where JJ's connections are. But do you know what? That's the one that really excites me, because when I recalled, or when I was informed that he played against us in a 2-2 draw at Plough Lane during the lockdown, he terrorised us that half, that game. Of course, he's now, he's obviously now not in Charlton's plans. They've spent quite a bit of money, haven't they? But that one does excite me. Not that they don't, not that the others don't, because if you look at it, apart from Aaron Pierre, all of them are attacking or midfield options, which we always felt we lacked on the bench.
Mm. Yeah, and we still seems to be, though, a little bit of a lack of options, who replaces Josh Davidson if he needs a rest? We still seem to be a little bit short in that position. And again, there are rumours, and we don't really like to deal in rumour and innuendo, but Freddie Sears was a name that was mentioned potentially to come into us and perhaps be an extra body as a central striker. And obviously we had Matty Stevens at the aforementioned Forest Green Rovers, who ended up at Warsaw. So it still seemed perhaps a little bit light in that area, and that the workload seems to be falling squarely on Josh for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Obviously, we've got Al Hamadi in as well. Not that he would be a natural replacement for Josh, but I suppose technically we could change to a two. I think we haven't. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think we've got anyone that can replace Josh in terms of that one person up front. But then ultimately, you could probably change formation, go to a 4-4-2 for our sake, or play two up. So I think what I like about it is that we've got some width, we've got some pace, got some creativity in midfield. So actually, Johnny's changing, and he said in his interview after, I don't know what time it was, but he looked like he had bags under his eyes, so I doubt he's got much sleep in the last week. But he did say, he hasn't had options that he can use from the bench. I think he has now. I think he's got options where he can change formation, which makes us more competitive in the second half of the season. We've got the defence sorted out, 11th clean sheet of the season on Saturday. So we've got a solid foundation. It's now just, it's adding goals to our game, isn't it?
Yeah, it does seem to be, as we've said for a little while, it seems to be our big issue defensively. We seem sound. It's just, will we score enough goals to perhaps propel ourselves a bit further up the table. But hey, the other thing we haven't mentioned, Aaron Pierre, as you've mentioned, so you have mentioned him, but we haven't really talked about it. That is a defensive acquisition, but perhaps somebody that's not going to, I'm not sure he's going to feature particularly much. I think Alex Pearce and Paul Callum-Bailly and a returning Will Nightingale seem to be the ones that would be most likely to start there. Of course, as we've said before, Chris Gunter can play centre-half if needs be. Lee Brown can move into centre-half if needs be. I'm not sure how much we're going to see of Pierre, someone who's not really played that much this season anyway.
We have a lot of options, don't we, in that sort of, you're right, you know, we've got full-backs that can play in centre-halves, we've got full-backs that can switch either side. Do you know what, Aaron Pierre is an interesting one, because the cynic in me goes, I don't really want a Sutton United reserve. He couldn't get, I think he played 15 minutes. However, if I take away his Sutton career, he's had, you know, Shrewsbury, Wickham, always been a handful. I didn't realise he was 29. He's obviously had a tough life, because I thought he was about 33, 34. I can't believe he's 29. If he's listened to this, I don't mean that. To me, it looks like it's, you know, it's actually a, so the rumour was it was going to be a loan deal. It's actually a permanent 6-month contract. So in a way, to me, it looks like it's a bit of a carrot for him in terms of, you know, if you perform well, you get into the team. It's good for training in terms of it's good for that competitiveness. I know what you're saying. I suppose the counter argument is we're going to have a lot of games. I think we've just had a couple of games rescheduled for March.
you can read my mind, Stu. I was just looking up when these the Newport and the Walsall games have been rearranged for.
I think that's where you are. I think it might be a case simply of rotation. Well, not rotation, do you know what I mean? But having the bodies, because, you know, we may pick up injuries. We picked up niggly injuries, haven't we, this season. So that's probably what it is. You know, he has a very good footballing CV. It's just the fact he's come from Sutton as a reserve that I'm being the cynic in me on that, but he's a good player.
Yeah, and added with the signings we'd already made, Pearson, as you've mentioned, Little, Al-Hamady, Janna. So 7 new additions. We have some that have gone out, of course. We all know about Ayuba Sal, but Courtney Senior is no longer with us. His contract has come to an end. Paul Osu, mutual termination. So obviously we've reallocated some of the funds that they were using clearly on some of these loans, perhaps Pierre as well. Jack Curry, as we've mentioned, as you say, still with us despite strong interest from Bristol City, and we see what happens in the summer. But rumours, again, so many rumours and innuendos about how much money Bristol City were prepared to put in for him. I mean, are we holding out for 7 figures? Is that what we're doing?
Possibly. It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, a lot of the rumours come from Bristol City in terms of their local news there, and they were the ones that said they'd gone for a second bid, third bid. I think they had rumoured that they potentially got up to $1 million, but we had moved the goalposts, and I think those goalposts were the fact we wanted a loan back. That didn't suit Bristol City, because I think there's a chain of actions. I think they had a left back that they wanted to get out, apparently, to Coventry. He's on quite a decent money. So the idea to bring Jack Curry in, I guess, was to get him in for as a backup for left back. So a loan back to us didn't really sit where they wanted. So, yeah, apparently we moved the goalpost. So that's good. We're in a stronger position. We had the players, an 18-month contract, I believe. So we weren't in a desperate need to sell. So in a way, it feels quite good that we're resolute. You know, I don't know if we've ever turned down 4 bids before from a championship club. So it feels quite good in that way. My main concern is that Jack Curry's head hasn't been turned. We don't have a player that's going through emotions. Judging by what we know of his character, I don't think that would bother him. I think he'd get his head down and crack on. But yeah, I'd be amazed. Summer is probably the right time to sell. I suppose what we want really is him to have a really good second half of the season. Then we get a bidding war, because if we get a bidding war, then of course Bristol City, if they're still interested, will have to pay a little bit more money.
I mean, he didn't play on Saturday against Stockport, which raised a few eyebrows. Did we actually get any? Yeah. Did we get any news on why that was? Was that purely had he taken a knock and it was a fitness thing? Was it because Lee Brown's slightly taller, perhaps slightly better to have in the air against a big Stockport side? Or are we going to think that? Are we going to think that perhaps we had in mind a chance that he was perhaps on his way out? Who knows? But I don't think we ever actually knew.
I'm not sure. I think we looked at the game and how it started. I think Lee Brown was the perfect. I think he was a better option for that game against Stockport. Mm-hmm. Certainly in the wind up areas, wasn't it? Because you're right, they were a strong physical side. And you know what? Maybe it just needed that Lee Brown experience. I don't think he's let us down since he's come back in. So I didn't have a problem seeing him in. But yeah,
I'm just glad he survived his near death experience at Crewe.
You're not going to let it go, are you?
No.
You're not going to let it go. Do you know what? I'm going to get him on the podcast just so you can just see if he's okay.
I will, thanks. So I can just make sure he's all right, because, you know, yeah, I was worried. I was a little bit worried.
We're due to get a player on soon, and I was thinking, who can we get on? Lee Brown being hilarious. He's an absolute... Do you know, it's difficult, because I really like Lee Brown. I think he's hilarious. When I've spoken to him, he's very unassuming. He's not full of himself. Do you know what I mean? He's quite happy to take a mick out of himself. But on a pitch, he reminds me a lot of my mates who used to play in Sunday football. Always on a wind up. Never serious. And he just loves a row, doesn't he? And then you've got Harry Pell. You've then got Alex Woodyard. And then if it gets serious, you've got Paul Cannonby coming in. It's just hilarious.
And not to mention, of course, Alex Pearce as well, who I'm sure doesn't mind getting involved as and when needs be. But hey, yeah, the Stockport game. Well, you talk about Lee Brown, his personality, and clearly a good influence in the dressing room. Seems very close-knit dressing room at the moment. We don't anticipate that's going to be disturbed by the new arrivals. And that's clearly on evidence on Saturday, because it was another example of a real battling performance. Everyone working 100%, hard, hard game. And we saw it out. We got the victory. And it was a fully deserved victory, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting when you look at the stats. That was our 10th win of the season, which is nice to get. I can't remember the last time. How long does it take us to win 10 games in the League One? Do you know what I mean? Probably two or three seasons. Two seasons, probably. Interestingly, Stockport's 10th defeat of the season. And you can, do you know what? I've seen Bradford come to our place and Stockport will come to our place. Team know I've got but and real sort of tests. And even though Stockport's still on the table, I still can't believe they're not in the playoffs or around it. They're not far away. But either team didn't frighten me. I felt we dealt with their threats well. Stockport were a bit more streetwise. Wooten up front was a lump, wasn't he? Really difficult to get hold of him. Then they brought Paddy Madden on. It's like ridiculous. But the game probably turned on a crazy decision, which, you know, could have gone either way. Penalty decision that I think you look back and it's still a crazy decision. But, you know, Nick Zanna saves it. And in the end, it turns out a little bit of a tide. And I thought we were well worth the win and done. Really good. An old-fashioned goal from Harry Pell. Love those headers.
Yeah, nice little cross in from Belair, who is quickly becoming our player of the year. And Harry, it's just... I mean, you can see Stockport were annoyed. I think what happened is, as seems to be the case, is they came out second half. They looked to perhaps commit a few more men forward to try and take the game to us. And I think they had a couple of players that just caught cold and didn't track back perhaps the way they should have done. And there was a big, big space in the box. Harry Pell, how do you leave Harry Pell with a free header? 6 yards out from goal. But hey, if the cross isn't on point, then there's no, he could be as free as he wanted to be. He wasn't going to score a goal. So great ball in and simple finish. But Harry Pell, I thought, was actually his best game for a good while, actually.
Yeah, well, he survived a scare of, I know you weren't too sure about the elbow. I felt it was a lot of kidology. I felt Stockport from the first minute were literally sort of, do you know what really bugs me, man, is surrounding referees. Bugs the hell out of me. It's just like, come on. To be fair to the referee, he did speak to the Stockport captain after one of them. But I'm just at a stage of just get your card out and just mark them off. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some sort of punishment now that isn't just a fine or, you know, I have a, there's an FA feed, a tweet feed that goes through, you know, what's fines and suspensions and what they're investigating. And every week it feels like they're investigating not being controlling their players.
Yeah.
Arsenal are always on there. And you get into a stage of going, well, do you know what? Is a fine enough? You know, is it retrospective of a point away? I just don't like it. I'm not saying we're innocent either. But Stockport, I don't know about you, but from the first minute, for the first 10, they were just trying to get anyone booked and really, really spicing the game up for us.
Well, the Harry Pell one that he was booked for. So he had two fouls against him in the first 10 minutes and he got booked after the second one. And you're right, as soon as he went into the Stockport player for the second one, all their arms were up and they were all looking straight at the referee saying, what's going on? Now, to be honest with you, at the time, I thought it was a harsh booking, but I can kind of understand why it was given, because it was his second one. And also because that second one, it wasn't the fact he'd leading with his elbow or anything like that. It was just the fact that he was running in. Like you said before, sometimes it can look worse than it actually is. And because he was the one running at pace towards the defender whilst the defender was doing the standing jump, it can make it look worse. Nothing, at no point did it go through my head that it would be a red card until afterwards when their manager said in his post-match that he thought it would be a red card. But it was pretty much in line with it. And I don't think he particularly led with his elbow or anything like that. It seemed to clash heads more than anything. So
yeah, and I thought once we survived that, I thought defensively you can see why we've got 11 11. You know, and Dayron Carr-Wootton, who was at Notts County last year, he's a handful. He's a real handful. But I felt the more they went direct, the more we dealt the headers, and Alex Pearce wins everything.
Man of the match.
Absolutely wins everything in the air, doesn't he? And I know some people say when he gets turned, but this league, you're not going to get turned too much. I can't think of many teams, maybe Leighton Orient, who we come to on, we play on the weekend, maybe a bit more in behind. But most teams are very much back to front. And Alex Pearce just, well, he has a field day, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? He just wins every header, experienced. And I like that solid foundation now. I don't know about you, but I wasn't really thinking that we're, even though they had a bit of the ball, I didn't feel like we were creaking, because we just dealt with it. As I got more desperate and knocked it even longer, we just dealt with it. You know, when you've got Alex Pearce and Paul Cannon by, they're just going to head the ball for fun.
Yeah.
On that side. So, do you know what? Clean sheet and well earned by Nick Zanev. A great save. I've got a story for you, actually, because you know we sit up on the top tier. We could see Bezo pointing. He was literally enough on the floor trying to get Nick's attention, and he was pointing towards where the ball went in the end. So of course he saves it, and as soon as he saved it, Nick Zanev looked up to the I think we've got a sports analyst or site, you know, up on the thing. And it just, obviously, you know what's happened. They've gone, okay, he takes that penalty. It's just little things. Do you know what I mean? Little things. Yeah. But you just, with football nowadays, there's so many different angles on it. And you just saw that in use. They've obviously got data on penalty takers. I'm not too sure whether maybe Paddy Madden's their regular penalty taker. And do you know what I mean? I'm not too sure. So they might have not had that information, but... Yeah, I felt a very good team effort, but you know, Nick Zanev's got to save the ball, and it was a really good save.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think we were all very relieved to see Paddy Madden not starting. When he plays against us, he invariably scores against us, so that was good. And you could actually see that perhaps if he had played a bit longer, we might have been in a little bit more trouble. Perhaps he could have spanned behind, but we defend so deep that even he'd have struggled. We defend really, really well. It's so hard to break us down. So... anyway, that's why we've done so well in terms of keeping clean sheets. We will touch quickly on the penalty award and the penalties that weren't. I mean, I don't know what else we can really say apart from the fact that it was a joke that the penalty was awarded. I know there are people out there that do think that Nick clattered into him and it was a justified penalty. But for me, there's absolutely nothing. The ball is just long gone. The ball's gone out of play and they've collided. Nothing nonsense. I'm not sure how Josh Davison hasn't got a penalty in the second half. You might be able to enlighten me. When he checks back onto his left foot and player slides in and he goes down.
It's difficult with that, isn't it? Because the way... Hey, look, my argument is, if it's not a penalty, then it's a booking for diving.
Well, exactly. What did he think happened if it's not a penalty?
Because the way Josh James has done it, and we all know how that tackle goes, the training leg must have clipped. You know, in terms of how much it clipped, I don't know. But if he clipped him, he took him out.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't take him out, then... you know, then you get a dive. You know, you get a booking for a dive. But then also, I'm thinking, the linesman gave the penalty in the first half, so surely he's under pressure to give another dodgy one, even though it wasn't dodgy.
Yeah.
But that's even more clear cut, and he stays still. And I'm like, 1 second, you gave the most dodgiest one beforehand. You now got to even up, because that's how football works, isn't it? You know, referees even up decisions when they get things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't, do you know what I mean? And yeah, so that was the thing. But hey, look, League Two, just as much, if we've got players that sometimes are not of great quality, we've got the same referees, haven't we? And yeah, it's just frustrating. Because to be fair, not as any guarantee that we scored a penalty, because I think Josh has missed this season, hasn't he?
He has he?
He has missed one.
Yeah,
oh, it was Crewe, wasn't it? Yeah, the big goalkeeper who's actually gone back. He's gone somewhere else. He's been really called by Crewe. So we go with that. But yeah, so there's no guarantee, but it is a pen, isn't it? And it's just that, it just feels like injustice, doesn't it? However, the team, strong as anything in terms of mental strength, and didn't affect them, which was great.
Mm-hmm. We could have had a penalty in the first half. Josh Davidson again fouled. Eventually, the actual foul happens just outside the box and we get a free kick from it. But I actually think if Josh had been a bit smarter, he could have gone, perhaps got something in the box. If he'd have gone down in the box, I think at least he would have asked the question. But I do think about the linesman and the referee. I think we annoyed them. And by the end of the game, they were just ready to pounce on anything to book us. And Hussein Belair got a booking for time wasting, which seemed...
Oh, that was pathetic, wasn't it? Yeah, that was pathetic. Yeah.
But I think we just pissed him off. And the ref was just like, don't care, yellow card for anything.
What annoys me the most at the moment, right? You probably look at a lot of fullbacks. A lot of their bookings are more for time wasting or on general conduct than there is actually for fouls. It just annoys the hell out of me, do you know what I mean? The way bookings go around. Like, you know, the FA Youth Cup game that I went to, it was going into extra time, and our fullback got a booking for time wasting. Well, it's going into extra time, not time wasting.
Yeah, not time wasting. Want to go and win the game.
Yeah, you know, maybe have a look at all the foul throws, the amount of foul throws there was in the FAU. And it was generally around most games.
League Two. We've got some terrible ones. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just feels like, and frustrating. But anyway, that's referees. That's their job, isn't it? But yeah, didn't do us any favours. But hey, and we still win. And last night, really impressive, 11 clean sheets. And I think that's up. I think there's only a couple of teams ahead of us in the league of clean sheets. And if you don't concede, you don't lose. So that's of course, that's obvious, isn't it? But ultimately, that's not a bad thing if you know, we've just got to improve going forward a little more and get some more goals. But if you've got a solid base of not conceding, then, you know, we're in for a good second half of the season.
There's one point I would like to make, final point about the Stockport game. Some discussion afterwards about it not being the most entertaining of affairs and lead to, you know, especially that first half, there was a lot of the balls barely in play and the balls in the air a lot. Okay, in terms of the quality and the standard, no, it's lacking. I'm not going to deny that, all right? But a lot of people didn't care. As I've said many times this podcast, there were talking points, there was a decent atmosphere, we won. People had a good time. That's what people go to football for, to be honest with you. So I think I just want to make the point that, again, the way football has become and how big it's become, especially at the top level, it just continues to prove to me that it's absolutely absurd when it comes to the amount of money that goes into football and the amount of concerns people have about quality of football and getting young players at an early age and all the industry that's become of it. At the bottom line of it, what it is people want to go and watch a football match because they like getting behind a team, supporting a team, watching it win, watching it fight hard. And the so quote-unquote entertainment value, I think, is completely overblown. But that's where we're at. And that's why we've got multi-million pound transfers all the time and obscene amounts of money going into it. I think we lost sight of what it is, to be honest with you. But anyway, this is me a little side rant.
No, I agree with you. I heard the comments and I was amazed. It depends what entertainment you want from football. Okay, like my argument is in this Premier League, everyone plays the same. High press, passing, you know, gets a bit boring. And there's no long ball teams anymore. You haven't got a Leicester playing long ball or a Stoke
City. There's no personalities.
No, there ain't. But, you know, I felt Saturday there was an edge. There was an edge to that game. You know, and that's what I don't know about you, but the excitement, I actually really enjoyed the game. There was an edge. There was a bit of an undercurrent there. And that's what makes a football match. That's, you know, tackles, controversy. And obviously we had the £5 entry on Saturday. Yeah. And I know there's quite a few of our mates who bought people and they support Premier League clubs and they absolutely loved it. Because do you know what? It was just an old-fashioned football match. And for those of us who are a bit older, that probably includes you, Nick.
I'm nearly 30.
I know, that was an old-fashioned tear-up. But you younger fans now, probably under 30, they class entertainment as playing pretty football. There's more, you know, football's been around for years. There's many different ways to play it, but there was an edge to that game. And the edge was Paddy Madden storm down the tunnel. That makes me feel good. I like that.
Yeah.
Like he did a little clap to his fans and stormed down the tunnel. He was upset. That's good. I'm pleased he's upset. Because they wanted to win the game. We wanted to win the game. We did. We got the points and we go on to lay an audience to get our first double. No, our second double of the season, hopefully.
Hopefully. Hopefully. One last question I have is, I can't remember if I mentioned this before on a podcast or not, but I'm going to mention it again. Why do players come out and line up to look at the crowd for 5 seconds and then run off? What is the purpose of that?
What do you mean they line up
at the start of the game? Yeah, so then we used to do it because they used to do the hallelujah handshake, but they don't do that anymore. That's what they used, bizarrely, I think they just called it. They called it the hallelujah handshake, but they don't do that anymore. They've gone back to the normal way of doing things, which is you shake hands at the end after it's finished.
Yeah.
So why do they stand there like lemons? Look, I mean, Josh Davison was the last one out of the tunnel. He didn't even get to the line before they all started running off. What is the point of this? Come out of the pitch and just run towards your end as you always used to.
Yeah, do you know what? It's really weird. With COVID, there's some things that just haven't come back. Like, I don't know about you. We haven't brought our mascots back. I'm sure we've got loads of mascots. So
we'd love to be a mascot.
Yeah. So it feels like there's still even a red zone, I believe. And for those of you not too sure, during COVID, there was red and green zones for where you could go, where you couldn't go. There's still red zones.
There's no smoking in the red zone. There's no waiting in the green zone.
Yeah, it just feels like it's something that's been kept. And yes, all right, COVID is still around, but it's not a pandemic that it was last year or the year before.
Mm.
But it feels like, to be fair, I hadn't noticed it because I normally would come out of the studio and we'd sort of walk into our seat. I hadn't noticed that they no longer shake hands. I'm trying to think, do they do that in the Premier League? Do they not shake hands?
I think the Premier League, I think, do it. I don't think they shake hands, but then I don't watch it. But I'm pretty sure what they will do.
They walk past each other and nod their head or something.
Maybe, but they certainly play the stupid Premier League anthem that they have to line up for.
We need a League Two anthem.
No.
Jingo. Oh, do you know what? We should have a league. Every league should have an anthem. I like anthems. I think it's really? Quite. Yeah, so they what can, anthem cool?
They can line up and they can praise their EFL overlords with their own song. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. It could be that. Anyone's got any ideas what a song could be for our league too? That'd be great. Jingo's got to be up there. Nah, same for the Welsh. Well, the Welsh people that are normal Welsh people, not the the ones who just, yeah. Oh, it's just, yeah, I know you don't get into that, but I was just crying with laughter. Why do people have to look at songs? It's just like, oh, come on.
Nothing better to do, I think, is the answer to that one.
It's like the green grass of home. They're going to moan that not all grasses are green. You know, it's got to be like Hannah was at Colchester. Like, it's got to be brown or purple, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, just get over it.
All I'm going to say is, what's up, pussycat? And think about all the interpretations you could have of that. But we'll move swiftly on.
Yeah.
You briefly mentioned before you were at Plough Lane on Wednesday night for the FA Youth Cup tie with Leeds United. We took them to extra time. Gallant defeat in the end, 3-1, but sounds like a good evening all round.
Yeah, do you know what? The FA Youth Cup's always enjoyable because you can just see, obviously, what talent you've got in your academy, especially after, supposedly, being close to losing Jack Curry on the transfer window is one of those to see what's coming through. And there's a lot to be hopeful for, and there's some good players down that level. It really is. Leeds, obviously, a Premier League team, and that comes, naturally, they can pick up the best players naturally. I know I was chatting to George before the game and he said they had 5 England internationals. Excuse me. And do you know what? They are some decent players, mainly up front. The women in the game gave a real good account of themselves. And if they won the game in normal time, I don't think Leeds could have had too many problems with that. But it went to extra time. And then typically when games go to extra time, to be fair, as the normal time finished, both teams looked shattered. And you're thinking this could be an interesting one, but whatever Lee's spoke about during the between normal time and extra time starting, they come out, scored 2 early goals, and that was game over. But 3-1 it wasn't a 3-1 game if that makes sense. They did really well. Some really good players. Morgan Williams really stood out. Alfie Bendall was available to play, so he played in midfield with Morgan Williams. Sassou playing wide right. I really felt sorry for they had this we called him a ginger left back. I don't know why we called him ginger, because ginger didn't really have anything relevant. He was a left back, but he was ginger. Anyway, I had another ginger person on the bench. Anyway, not really having anything about gingers. Love gingers. God, I've got myself in trouble now, aren't I?
what a cracking 30 seconds of a podcast that one.
Just dug a hole. Anyway, they had the ginger left back, right? And Sasu had the beating of him all game. And even, like, there was a time when he gave him, like, 10 yards head start. And because he's a very tall, long-legged player, so his strides literally just took him apart. And his left back, nobody helped him. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, he's one-on-one. Why had I no coverage? I mean, it was just like, felt for him. He's a very good player, Sasu. I think the only thing probably is, and this is the thing at youth level, is once they get into positions, their selection. So that sort of let us down, but really good account of themselves. They got really, you know, see why they're doing well this year, and our academy is still strong.
Yeah, keeps delivering. So an exit there for the FA Youth Cup, an exit as well in the Women's FA Cup for our women's team, unfortunately beaten by higher level Charlton Athletic at Carshalton. 5-1 in the end, but the one was a special one from about 50 yards. Ashley Hinks getting quite a lot of credit and praise on social media from the women's game for that finish.
Yeah, consolation. Charlton full time. They train full time. We train, I think, Tuesday and Thursday evenings. So it was always going to be a challenge. I think it was a fourth round, I believe, of the FA Youth Cup FA Women's Cup. And very much, if you look at the women's game, there's the depth. That's the problem with the women's game, is the depth. To give you an example, we lost 5-1 against Charlton. Hashtag, who are running away, not running away in a league, but a league, leading our league at the moment. They lost 4-0, I think, away at Coventry. So, and they haven't been even in doubt of being beaten this season. So I think it just shows you, when you get to a certain level, the women's game does have levels. Mm-hmm. More noticeably, you know, if you look at a fourth round in the FA Cup for the men's, there's a lot more upsets. It's just the depth isn't there. But hey, look, it's a really good account for themselves, and they go back to league action. I think they've got old Actonians, I believe, who are third on Sunday, so they can concentrate on the league now.
Great, I love that cliche. Time to concentrate on the league. We will do shortly.
I was going to say, we do that in August normally, don't we? Because we normally have both. We'd already have a League Cup by then, don't we? You know what I mean?
Normally. So. I mean, to be fair, you've reminded me. Yeah, we did get knocked out of the League Cup in August by Gillingham. But do you know what that reminded me? I was just going to say earlier, when you talked about how Bradford and Stockport and how you weren't particularly impressed with them. Do you know, I'm looking back over the teams that have visited Plough Lane this season. I'm thinking, who actually impressed me? And I'm looking back, and to be honest with you, I would say Sutton, but more so in the away game. At Plough Lane, I thought we were just woeful. I just thought we were awful. Barrow quite impressed me the way they set about the game. Harrogate impressed me the way they took the game. I thought they were very unlucky when we beat them. But other than that, I'd say the best team, Chesterfield. Because other than that, to be honest with you, Grimsby, Crewe, no. Stockport, no. Bradford, no. Leighton Orient, when we played them, no. No one's really stood out to me. So,
no, you're right. You're right. To be fair, even though, like, you know, we beat Leighton Orient 2-0, we played exceptionally well that evening. And you could see where their threats were. Even though we beat them 2-0, you could see why they were top of the league.
Hmm.
Although Steamage are going to
pick them up
on that. Yeah, you're right. Do you know what? I think Barrow would want to impress me. I thought they were really good against us. I suppose maybe because you're not expecting them to be as good.
They're possibly, more form,
you know. But yeah, not Sutton. No, I'd probably say Barrow was the one. But yeah, Chesterfield, you're right. But then they've just sold their forward to Peterborough. The Peterborough picks up another non-league. I can't pronounce his name, but they picked up another non-league player that I think would do very well. So that may impact Chesterfield for the second half of the season.
Mm. Hopefully they will go up, and Notts County will go up, and Wrexham will stay down. But you know,
Wrexham are too busy doing there. Wrexham are too busy being on TV all the time. It's amazing, right? The money they've made. They've got TikTok as a sponsor. They've got is it on Disney? Is it there? Wrexham?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Disney. So the money.
I think it's Disney actually. So apparently that's really popular. And they're now getting TV money all the time. Like, what money those Americans have put in, they've made back already.
Yeah.
But everyone hates Wrexham, apart from John Green. John Green went and went from our game to Wrexham. Apparently didn't know where Wales was.
I don't even know, really, to be honest with you. I'm not even sure if it's a real place, to be honest with you.
Just stop when you get to Newport.
Made up land where Peter Pan and Tinkerbell live. Anyway, right. Jackson 5. This Saturday, Stu, we play Leighton Orient in a ding-dong London derby. Can you name the other five London teams in the Football League this season. So this is outside of the season. Yeah, so in the now christened EFL in the 71, sorry. Who are the other five?
Are we going to count Sutton?
Yes.
Cool. Charlton.
Yeah.
Millwall.
Yeah. Could get 5 out of 5 this week.
I'm struggling now because I'm trying to think who else is in London. QPR.
One more. You've got 2 guesses to get it.
I don't even know who everyone is. QPR. Not Fulham. Us.
There we go. It is.
Did you really put it in us? And
well, yeah, because otherwise it would have been Jackson 4.
True, but I'm thinking Wimbledon's too obvious because I know you're in London because...
Well I know, but that was...
Technically, Sutton are not in London now, are they?
Well, the thing is, I gave them Sutton because London Borough of Sutton. So I kind of feel like they kind of have to be.
True.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
5 out of 5.
So we didn't include Watford, even though they're on the tube line, but no. And any other place that, like London Luton Airport, but I think that would be a stretch.
Do you know what? But I could have got away with that, though, to be fair, because you couldn't argue because the airport is London. But then, to be fair, Stansted is London Stansted.
Yeah, exactly. Like London Oxford, London Reading, London Forest Green. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
By the way, did you see that Carl Robinson is under pressure at Oxford? They are not happy. The locals are not happy with him.
Oh, no.
That's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame.
Weep for Carl Robinson. Yeah. I certainly won't be dancing around my living room if he was to depart.
Do you know what, League One without us, isn't it? It looks even tougher.
Oh, like, no, God, yeah. It looks ridiculous.
Do you know what I mean? The teams that are struggling in the bottom half, I'm just sitting there thinking if we're in that team. But then, of course, you've got one team in there who just are missing us so much. They're doing their best to lose and join us again, aren't they, bless them?
I goddamn promise you, I took the mick out of them on Twitter the other day because we did a TikTok video and they tried to jump on it and make a joke out. We did a TikTok video where we transformed from Selhurst Park to Plough Lane and
okay.
And they did one where they flipped it to transform from an empty Selhurst Park to a full Stadium MK. It's like the only time in Milton Keynes was ever full. So I just retweeted a picture of their stadium completely empty with a few hundred fans in it. And they came back saying, why do you only ever show the away end? I'm thinking, I've shown you 3 stands. They're all empty. You don't give 3 stands to your away teams. Oh, dear. Bless them. God
to be
love
fair,
them.
Though, do you know what? Our TikTok's really good. Doing really well on that. They did
I must admit, Stu, I don't have TikTok. So
I'm not surprised.
I will never know. I only saw this TikTok because they put it on Twitter. That's how I saw it.
Well, the thing was, Lorraine was telling me that she knew John Green was here because he was on TikTok, showing it on TikTok. And she was saying, Josh Davidson's on TikTok. I don't know what that's about. Maybe with his braids on his hair. What's that about? Come on, Josh. He changed his hairstyle, didn't he? I'm jealous because obviously I can't change mine. But to be fair, on the Wimbledon one, they did one where they were coming out of training and saying he's got a worse haircut. And they all said Alex Pierce. But then Lorraine was, because Lorraine does do TikTok, she does that a lot, to be fair. She's going, oh, I think I've upset Alex Pierce. I'm like, what are you on about? Mm-hmm. She's going, well, he don't look happy that he's been told he's got the worst haircut. Oh, no, I'm not, no, that's his happy face. Like...
I'm sure he was well aware of the banter.
Yeah, I don't think he was surprised.
No, no one's got worse hair than Ethan Chislett, let's be honest with you. But
I don't know who would be the worst haircut. I'm trying to think it would be
Ethan Chislett.
I don't know. Josh Davidson ain't great with his, I don't know, like he's gone from a man bun to a, I don't know, you know what I mean? But yeah, the TikTok, there's a certain audience for TikTok and it's not me. But there's some good stuff on there. But Lorraine reminds me of what's on there, so.
So there you go. We're running out of time, I've just realised. Blimey. So very quickly then, Leighton Orient, we do visit the league leaders at present time, as you say, Stu. I imagine Stevenage will overtake them. Stevenage seemed better placed. But Leighton Orient, dodgy run despite being top. 1 win in their last 6. They've only scored once in their last 6 as well. So although, as you've said, they've got some quality players, we all know about George Moncur, we know about Darren Prattley and Troy Archibald and all these players. But, you know, we go in there in good form. They're not in great form. They've only scored one goal in six. They've only conceded five. I mean, it seems very similar to last week, doesn't it? Two teams that don't score a lot, don't concede a lot, pretty much seems to be a nailed-on 0-0 draw.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, isn't it? Because later on, it's a really good atmosphere, and I think we're going to take quite a few now. I think we sold out our allocation. I think the pressure's on them, isn't it? Because Steelers are breathing down their necks. They know have been top for most of the season, haven't they?
Yeah.
And at one point, I think one point people thought they were going to romp away with it. And I think Steelers now beat them 3-0 recently. I think the pressure's on later on. I think their fans will be a little bit edgy. So I think if we can keep it tight, as we normally do, I think it could be an injury. I think we could end up... I'm going to say I don't think we're going to lose.
No.
That's my feeling. Draws are probably more likely a sort of low-scoring draw. But I think the pressure's on... I think the pressure's on Oran. I think they're going to feel it if they don't get an early goal or, you know, we manage to score early.
Hmm. It'll be a fascinating afternoon. Sold out Brisbane Road. Very much looking forward to it. So it should be a good day out for everyone elsewhere. In fact, if you actually look, we won't go through it in depth now. If you actually look at the fixture list, it's a full programme in League Two on Saturday. Yeah. And there's some great games, I think.
There is.
I mean, I've picked out Sutton Stevenage, but there are many others. And it's going to be, this is what football should be about. Kicking off at 3 o'clock, full-time whistle goes, you get back to the car, you stick on Sports Report and listen to the classified check and see what happened. Of course, none of that ever happens anymore, sadly. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. It should be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Northampton, Walsall will be interesting. Decent one. And you've got Colchester, Barrow.
Yeah.
Barrow just got hammered in the week, 5-1 by
Carlisle.
Carlisle, who went third.
Yeah.
I think we were saying in the season, I didn't think the top three was going to change. And Carlisle, good against us. We got them at home next. It's going to be interesting. Like I say, I'm looking forward to it. We've got some great games coming up.
Yeah. Good time of year at the moment. So anyway, updates from that game will be on Twitter at 9YRS Podcast, of course. But that is it for this week. So all that's left to say is, Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 + 2 = 4. We will speak to you again next week. Kind of felt a bit abrupt at the end there.